Joining us live on the Games Gone podcast with me, Tom Ross, is Birmingham City legend, the former Blues left back, the man with a tackle. It's Martin Grangers. How are you doing?
Not too bad, Tom, yourself?
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm
average, if I'm honest.
Well, yeah. It's like we said earlier, it's like most of us. Yeah, I'm okay, mate, at the moment.
Good man. And still driving trains for a living.
Yeah, not this week, though. I've got a week off, funny enough, but which is a bit of luck.
I find it strange. There's you, playoff final, Premier League, and, like, you're driving trains, and I'm thinking, like, you get one contract in the Premier League these days, you don't need to work again.
Oh, well, I didn't get that one, did I? I got promised it, but then I got told swiftly to do one. I had all the bit where I was going to go to Blackburn the previous year, and that was probably life-changing money. And then I asked to get brought into what the top earners were earning at the club, and I got swiftly told where to go.
Interesting because I know Graham Souness through Terry Cooper, and Phil Gorsmer and Graham, they were all at middle, so I know them quite well. And I was at West Brom one day and Graham Souness said to me, tell me about your left back.
Yeah.
And he still wanted you.
No, I mean, we played against, I can't remember, I don't know who's manager at the time. I think it might have been Newcastle. We played against them and he sort of like tapped me on the back afterwards and gave me a wink as if to say, like, I tried. But the club just was demanding too much money. And then that was that. But I think throw me toys out of frames, just on with it. Just wanted to play.
Typical of players of your generation. So you're a lad from Enfield, Spurs fan. And I can only imagine you had one hero at Spurs at that time.
Yeah, it's the one and only, isn't it? Glenn Hoddle. I mean, I was lucky enough to play in a couple of games against him when he was coming towards the end of his career at Chelsea and Swindon, and he just kept dropping the ball over my head for the wicket to run on. It was outrageous. Left foot, right foot. It was just, I was just in awe just watching him.
I remember a game at Birmingham. He was player manager at Swindon. And we were, we were 4, I think it might have been 4-1 up at half-time and coasting. And he cheated. He brought himself on. They beat him 6-4. They beat us 6-4.
Did he turn
the whole game round. He turned on his own.
The guy is just, he just had every. I mean, if he was playing today, you no one would be out of buying. He was just unbelievable.
It'd be too expensive, even at 100 million or 150 million. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Just brilliant.
So if you're North London lad and Spurs, how did you end up at Colchester's youth setup?
Well, I mean, I played for my counties and all that sort of stuff. And I was at Leighton Orient as a 13-year-old. And our school back then weren't really interested in letting you go on a Saturday and playing for Leighton Orient. So I agreed. They agreed to let me go, but I had to do everything. I had to do cross-country, cricket, basketball. I mean, I walked in a cross country out of protest, come last. But it just the London sides, the Tottenham and the Arsenals, are probably just weren't good enough as a kid to go there. And then I gave up at Orient because of all the other sports I had to do. It was getting on my nerves. And I sort of give up that sort of football for you and just played with my mates. And then a school teacher, Johnny Ruin, who's a local school to ours, was a scout for Colchester. Just took me down there and that was it.
It's fantastic, really, because I remember Colchester dropped out of the league.
Yeah.
Then they got promoted back in. You were part of all that, weren't you?
Yeah, we was won the trophy, FA Trophy final. We had a couple of promotions, a couple of relegations, but it was a club that was just had no money, Tom. It was, I think, it was constantly £2-3 million in debt. And it was just, I mean, the stories that I could tell you with the kit that we used to have, like you'd have to fight over getting a slip and all that sort of stuff. And it was just, it was hard, but it sort of, I'm glad it sort of went that way because it hardened for what was to come. I mean, there's nothing you could throw at me that I hadn't seen.
So you were never phased in the future, were you?
Nah, I mean, it's just, I mean, back then we had to paint dressing rooms. We had to sweep the stands on a Monday morning. Clean the boots. I remember I had Jock Wallace's. I was his
kid. He was tough, by the way.
Yeah, he used to come in and in his Scottish accent, he'd go, "You boys, stand up." And he'd just go, whack, just punch you in the stomach. he'd go round the circle. And I had to do his kit. So every morning it had to be folded without no creases in, and it had to come out the stumble dryer for him to put it on. If he didn't, you got a clip. Wallop.
But I suppose really, character building, I mean, they'd call it bullying today.
Yeah, but I mean, today you could blow on someone, it'd be bullying, wouldn't it?
So tell me then, so you paid for Jock Wallace. Was it Steve Foley next?
Well, Steve Foley was my youth team manager, and I'd say to this day, he's probably the best manager, coach I ever played under.
He really?
Was, yeah, brilliant.
That won't get back to Steve Bruce.
We won't go there.
Did you play for Ian Atkins?
Atkins, yeah, as well. He come and played himself sweet for us. He didn't have to run around.
He played at Birmingham that way as well. But Atkins, and then I think Roy McDonough.
McDonough, you mean? Yeah.
But two lads got. But it's strange how you came to Birmingham and they were two Birmingham lads.
Yeah, well, Roy reckons he took all the credit in his book, mentioned that he got me a move, but he didn't. He more or less ruined me. I used to offer him out for a fight every day around the ground, behind the ground when I was 16. I hated him. Absolutely hated the geezer.
He was pretty tough, so for somebody to stand up to him must have been a strange thing.
Yeah, but Roy would elbow someone off the wall and be behind 10 people who were having a fight for him. You know, everyone's because he got sent off 23 times, didn't he, or something? But
yeah,
you know, it's easy to help out with some people. Yeah, so I'm like 50-50 with him.
You won the conference, and then it was Brentford, where you had a decent spell, didn't you? 101 games there in the league and 12 goals under a legend as well. Was it David Webb of Chelsea?
Webber, yeah. I mean, to be honest, I didn't want to leave. I think we played Cardiff on a Tuesday, and when we came in on the Thursday, and he said, "I've sold you to Birmingham City." I had to go, and he called me in his office. He said, "I've sold you to Birmingham City," and shook my hand. I was like, "What?" And I went home to my dad, because from being a London lad, I didn't know too many teams, obviously north of the country. And I said to my dad about obviously Birmingham, and he went, "Yeah," he said, "big club, sleeping giant." So that was it. But I was really enjoying the football at the time, and I didn't want to go.
So tell me, what you just said, "I've sold you," end of story. You didn't have an agent or anything then?
Yeah, I had the late, great Eric Hall at the time.
Did you have Eric Hall?
Yeah, what a character. Yeah, he nearly mucked it all up. Well, lovely bloke, but he did like upsetting people, because when we was in, I went and met Barry at the Grosvenor at the PFA Awards. Opened the door, he was in a Dickie Bow shirt, long socks and pants. So he invited us in, and then Eric was there as well, and we had David Webb on the phone. Eric made a couple of ridiculous, what's the word I'm looking for?
Demands?
What we wanted and all that terms, and David Webb threatened to get in the car and come down and kill him. And he was like, "No, MS Bubbler and all this sort of stuff." But it was, we got it sorted in the end. But both of them were interesting characters.
Well, you'd played for Steve Foley, who you said was the best. You'd played for Jock Wallace, who's a legend in Scotland and at Leicester. Yeah. You played for David Webb, such a hero at Chelsea. And then it was Bazza.
Well, Mick Mills as well, before that, as Colchester.
Oh, Mick Mills, of course. But he was, Mick Mills, of course, only for only January to May, though, wasn't it, 89?
Yeah, we had Alan Ball as well, late Alan Ball. He was a manager.
Was he there?
Yeah.
What a top man he was. World Cup winner.
Yeah, tough man as well. Oh, tough manager.
Was he?
Yeah, he demanded a lot, because he was a player. He was a player, wasn't he?
Proper.
And and he demanded a lot from the players. Then it was better.
What was it like playing under Baz? I mean, he brought Birmingham alive at the right time when it needed that character sort of lift. He brought us alive. But what was it like playing for him?
I tell you what, and I've said it before, that was probably one of the best 10 weeks of my career. In the way of, it'd be bawling in your face, but then he'll buy you a drink outside. it would demand that you gave everything, but it would hold nothing. If you had a bad game or anything, it wouldn't hold nothing against you outside. You'd be forgotten on the next one. He was what I wish I'd played for him previously and longer. I loved him for the time I had with him. He just lit up everywhere. Everyone was happy when he was around.
That's what I mean. He brought the place alive.
Yeah, he was just that character. Every time he walked in the office, like, he went in, everyone was just happy.
Well, I ring him now, and it's like, hello, mate. It's like long lost pals. It's fantastic. He's such a funny man. I said, do you remember who was in that team that Baz had then? Because you won the Birmingham Senior Cup.
Yes, we beat Villa. I've never lost to Villa. Played them twice, won twice. Because he played about six first team that night because he wanted to win. I think we won 5-2, didn't we? Something like that.
Well, I think he brought that trophy to a dinner and it was the following morning when he got the sack. He brought the trophy. David Gold and all them were ignoring him and he thought, what's going on? He was getting the tin tack. But I mean, he was such a character and he'll never be forgotten at Blues. He's adored at Blues.
He's even now, I bumped into him. My lad played for England under 18s about 7 years ago. And I bumped into him there and just like he was still my manager.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the same person, same old Baz.
He won't change. And I love him for it, to be fair. And as I say, he'll be a legend at Birmingham City.
Oh, so brilliant.
Then came Trevor Francis. And you've played for some big names, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, Trevor was tough to win over. I think he probably tried to sign every left back in the division. I think, when did we have Simon Charlton, David Burrows?
Yeah.
God bless him, Gary Ablett. He tried Michael Johnston now. Simon Marsh, Tom Williams. So he kept signing these fullbacks, but...
Did you not get the message?
No, I was determined to win him over. Which I'd done that through training. I used to train how I played. Obviously, tapered down the tackling a little bit, but I made him pick me in the end.
Trevor was, when he went to Italy, he became, everything was about the game and there was not an emotional side to it. It was about functional. So if what he saw in training would impress him.
Yeah, I mean, I used to get told to go in sometimes on a Friday because I'd be taking my free kicks, I'd be doing extra running, and it'd be like, I sort of made that as to make an impression on the managers I had, to make them say, like, oh, he wants it, he wants to play. Upset a few sometimes in training because I used to challenge people in training, not mean to hurt them or anything, but I just tried to train how I played on Saturday.
See, you went around kicking people.
Yeah, when I was at Colchester, I did, because when you was on £24 a week for YTS, you got £50 appearance. So I used to try and knock people in training.
But, you know, it was a great time. I mean, three playoff semi-finals, for goodness sake. Three playoff semi-finals. Never quite got over the line. We'll come to them. But also, the Worthington Cup final. I mean...
Yeah, mixed emotions, that one for me.
Yeah. Tell us about why.
Well, I mean... The game, I thought we should have had a penalty in the last minute of the game, but the referee bottled it. And then obviously...
David Ellery, by the way.
Yeah.
That's name and shame.
Yeah, David Ellery. And then I obviously missing the penalty. But it was a game I think we deserved to win.
Some of the Liverpool players since have said Birmingham deserved to win.
I mean, the goal Robbie Fowler scored, you can just see... The quality, he wasn't even looking at the goal, knew where the keeper was. It's just a great finish. But then I've only ever seen my penalty once. And if it was in today's game, it would have took it again because he was at least 3 yards off his line. He's sort of done a job on me, really. But then no one remembered mine. It was AJ's, they remember. So I got away with it a little bit.
but it was a wonderful second half there, wasn't it? I mean, in stoppage time, extra time, I mean, they were out on their feet. There was only one.
Yeah. I mean, we were sort of like that all the way through the competition to the final. And when we when we got there, I mean, to myself, I thought we would win it. because the run we had, I thought we'd go there and we'd win it. I mean, and to take Liverpool to penalties anyway is an achievement on its own. Well, you know, coming from the Championship.
Did you remember the semi-final?
Yeah, that's the best game we've ever played in. The noise. I can still hear it now. It was like radio waves going together in your ear holes. It was such a surreal night. I mean, if you could bottle that and have that every week, that would be amazing.
And of course, didn't you score as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I had
to.
From an inch. I always tell horse I outsprint him. I was quicker than horse.
To be fair, that's not a lot.
That's not an achievement, is it?
But you know, you say, oh, it's an inch out. They're missing them from there these days. So,
they're on 200 grand a week.
But that atmosphere against Ipswich, that St Andrews.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that was a better atmosphere than the actual final.
Really?
Louder, yeah, much louder. Yeah, that was ridiculous. It was off the scalp. And that was something, if you could play in that every week, it just puts your ears on the back of your neck up.
Remember, though, you're a Championship team then as well.
Yeah. I mean, who did we beat on the way? Was that the year we beat Tottenham away? We beat Ipswich at home and, well, obviously played Liverpool in the final.
Ipswich in the semi and Liverpool in the final. I mean, it wasn't an easy ride by any stretch of the imagination.
No. I mean, I think, was it 1-0 at their place, wasn't it? And then we got the early goal. And, I mean,
The crowd sucked it in at St Andrews.
Oh, yeah. I think they frightened them to death. Bit of stage fright there by the big boys.
Did you say anything to David Ellery? Could you even face him? Because everybody in the ground, whether you're wearing a blue shirt or a red shirt, whether you were a linesman or whether you were selling programmes, you knew it was a penalty on Andy Johnson.
He got a barrage of abuse from, he could have given at least 10 of us red cards. it was embarrassing. I mean, I know AJ had that little trick sometimes where he would throw his body like that, but he actually got caught. Hippie caught him. It was definitely a penalty. Was it Hicho or was it Hencho? What's his name?
Sammy Hoopier. Was it?
Yeah, it was him, wasn't it? It was definitely a penalty. I mean, Martin O'Connell, I think, was here and I was in line with it sort of diagonally. It was 100% penalty.
Remember, you played a lot of that game. Skip was injured.
Yeah.
Remember, and he was limping. I mean, because you'd used all the subs, I think, hadn't you?
Yeah, to be fair, it was a tough old 120 minutes and we just sort of dripped over towards the end. But, I mean, the penalties was just, it's a lottery, isn't it?
That season earned you the PFA Team of the Year.
Yeah.
And didn't you get something? Oh, you were the Birmingham City Player of the Year, weren't you?
I won about 8 awards that year, which was really good. Well, obviously good for me personally. I just tried to play how I played, Tom. You know, sometimes you're going to be poor, but you still got to give that 100%.
Now, I'd like to talk to you about something Skip told me.
Go on.
You were playing Wolves.
Yeah.
And neither of you were too happy with Musket. And apparently you come to some sort of bet or deal.
What, who could get him first?
Yeah.
I think the one at home, I took off about 10 foot from him and I flew past him and missed. And then Skip had him down the corner, turn around and give him an uppercut. So he won.
Yeah, but he says you never paid the bet.
Oh, when I see him, I'll have to settle up. he probably couldn't afford it then because he got fined and get sent off.
He got fined. He was chuffed because he said, well, I've got fined, but I'm getting the money off the G-Man.
But the thing is, I was 2-2 with him. 2 games he played that year, he chinned him twice.
Yeah. When did the injury start to take effect? Their toll on you?
The injury started was when we played Middlesbrough away. It was, I think it was about, because I was promised going back to the Blackburn thing, I was promised a premiership contract after six games if Brucey thought I was doing well. Sixth game, I took a free kick, I whipped a free kick, and I felt like a crunch in the front of my knee.
Yeah.
And so then I had a scan, and it showed that it was the tendon was full of muck and all that. And they'd done a decompression, which basically they cut it open, slice it, clean it up, sew it back together. But that obviously just weakened it. But it was that I've got a degenerative patellar tendon, so it would never have got better anyway.
Oh, right. So it was never going to get any better than it was.
No. So I ended up having about four or five surgeries on it because I've got a couple of bone sleeve infections. And then when I actually ruptured it, it blew in half against Man United. After that, we asked to go and see Dr. Steadman in America. But the club wouldn't sanction it. Because Craig Bellamy had what I had, and he played for another 7 years.
Wow.
After Eddie. Yeah.
So your career could have been extended if you'd have gone to America, perhaps.
Yeah, but I mean, at the time, it was obviously, you're talking six figures to play for an operation. I mean, I was at Colchester on £90 a week to start. Don't get me wrong, I earned good money, but it weren't the sort of money where I'm going pay out £150,000 on an operation.
No, but that's the club should do that if you're an asset and registered with the club.
Well, yeah, I got told swiftly again to do one.
Did you play in all the playoff semi-finals?
Yes, apart from the second one away at Barnsley. I hyperextended my knee against Barnsley at home.
That was a bad game.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think we were too quietly confident that day. I thought we've got the easier draw to get to the final. And they just turned up and they just battered us, to be honest.
You won the second leg up at their place.
Yes, because I weren't playing.
You played against Preston, which was in its own way a bizarre. I mean, I've always wondered about a player's perspective on the penalty shootout and Trevor taking you off. And were the players, how did you see all that as a player? Did it defocus you?
Do you know what? I don't care what end is up. Yeah, it does. I mean, it took, should have just right, flip it up, just go and take the penalties. Doesn't matter what end you're at. Are you going to get people who are going to be doing all these hands or wherever you're going to hear it if they're at the other end anyway? So for me, I would rather have just gone, right, you're at that end, just go and take the penalties. Done, you know?
And argue the toss after.
Yeah. Sorry, Tom?
Argue the toss afterwards.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, no one wants to take penalties in a penalty shootout anyway. It's not the best thing, you know? It's just one of them. You've just made it worse. It's just get on with it. I mean,
you begin to wonder after three. I mean, we're talking there three playoffs. You think, is it ever going to happen?
Yeah, well, I had one at Brentford as well. We lost to Huddersfield, Neil Warnock.
You were the jinx, in fact, then, probably.
Yeah, so it's me. So that's why I was trying to sign all them left-backs.
Did you feel the love from the fans for you? Did you feel that at Blues? Because yeah, they love the left-backs, Mark Dennis, Julian Dix, Pat Mandeno. They love them tough-tackling left-backs. Did you feel the love?
Yeah, I did feel really appreciated. And still now, I get some really nice comments. But that's the way, to be honest, I play now. I played for them.
You couldn't play any different then, could you?
No, I play for the people before me. Yeah, man, I play for the badge. I don't play for the people that are upstairs. I play for the supporters, myself, and then myself and my family. That's it. And I just play. That's just the way I was. You know, I probably would have played for
nothing. Directors and owners are irrelevant.
No, because then you get to the point where we won't get onto it at the moment. When I retired.
Yeah, well, obviously I've got that down to talk about because I know that was a tough time for you.
That was, to be honest, it was. Listen, Tom, I didn't want any red carpet, but it was a disgrace the way it was handled. But that's why I would never play for them.
I know you wouldn't. But that, so anyway, then TF went. Was you surprised when he went?
Yeah, I mean, you could see he was getting a bit frustrated. I think he wanted to sign if I was going to go, he was going to sign Christian Poulsen. The guy, he went to Liverpool, didn't he? I think.
Yeah.
You can see he was getting a bit frustrated, and there was a bit of to and fro from him and the board. But yeah, at the timing of it, I was surprised he went. Yeah.
he fell out with the board. I mean, that's the reality in the end, I think.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you fall out with them, they're just going to see you later, innit?
Basically, there's only one winner.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
In any club, to be fair. Yeah. And then in comes Steve Bruce, and you have to impress a new manager, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, when we trained, when he played, he used to look at me sometimes as if I was nuts, because I used to fly around everywhere. You know, if there was running, I'd try and be at the front and be running away from people. And I used to, I used to train as hard as I could every day. And then again, just to make him pick me. You know, we had a bit of a falling out, but over a certain couple of comments he made to me in the dressing room. But
when he was the manager, this is?
Yeah, throwing around the word cheat, which that's one thing I've never done, is cheated anybody.
You could accuse you of not having a good game, but you could never say you cheat.
No, and I must admit, I did say a few wrong words to him in front of everyone, but that's
like
just amazing.
That ain't like you stand up for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, that's just one word that don't sit with me. I can be poor and say you had a bad game, but being called a cheat is just not. It's just not for me. That's one thing I ain't.
Even so, he picks you. And I don't know what the players think, but I remember he was having quite a torrid time before promotion. The results weren't right. I think we lost at home to Norwich, and the fans were after him. And then all of a sudden, you went to Derby, and I think Stephen Clement shanked one in off his shin. And you went on an amazing run, if you remember, to the playoffs.
Yeah, it's things like that can sort of turn your season around. What if one comes off someone's ear and goes in, or, you know, or you keep the saves a penalty, you go up the end of nick one with 10 men, or, you know what I mean? It's just little things can change seasons around.
The semi-final stands in my mind, and you talk about, you know, the way you played, but there were other players like that, weren't there? Oliver Tebberley. I remember in the semi-final against...
With no boot on.
His boots are off and he's tackling like a lunatic.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, real, real tough. A better player than people give him credit to. Well,
yes,
what a lovely guy as well. He's but he was an absolute tank. Physical tank he was. He had legs like tree trunks, but such a nice guy as well.
You drew at home, I think, was it? Yeah, drew at home because Dublin scored, didn't he? Dion Dublin.
Yeah.
And they thought they'd done enough now. They were on their way to the final because it was a home second leg. But what a night down there.
If I got told every time someone was going to cut my face when I went and picked the ball up for a throw on, if I'd have got a pound, I'd have been a millionaire. And then when the whistle went, we got chased off and Steve Vickers got punched in the back of the head before he got in the tunnel. It was just, I'd done the silly thing, didn't I? You know, when you clap our fans, you go around at the end, we get to theirs, and I'm mucking around going, what an idiot.
That Dockers stand there, they can be quite naughty. Dockers
stand. Oh, mate, it was just, you know, you just think like you don't want to go and pick the ball up next, you're getting spat at, you're getting coins thrown at you, and
you'd like to be a centre forward that day and stick in that sentence.
Yeah, just play between the sticks, aren't you? But yeah, all right.
it was, and then all of, you know, Stern John just kicks it away.
What a good player he was. It was a corner, wasn't it? It was a corner that I put in, got edited out. I hooked it in, and then it got knocked out of Stan. He squared it, Stern, in you go. And that was no coming back from that time.
No coming back. And I remember afterwards when you'd gone in the dressing room, and then World War III outside, if you remember. Oh. Rockets going off and all sorts of things. And I remember we all had to go on the pitch because I was on the bus, that me and Colin Tatton, we were on the pitch with midnight or something. It was
got locked in, didn't we? Because a fan got in the tunnel, and as I come out of the dressing room, you can tell him about a drink, he's right in my face, and he went, right, he said, now I'm gonna cut your face. So I was thinking, right, have I got a red button or leg it? But then he got manhandled by Cut Stewards and took out. I don't know how he got in. And he could have had something, but I was just thinking, what am I going to do now?
I got the feeling you wouldn't have legged it.
No, I was. Do you know what? I was just thinking, right, you got nothing. But it obviously didn't come to that. But you know, but it was a big lump. And I was thinking, oh, no, here we go.
And then
yeah, 3 hours later, we got out, didn't we?
Then a return. It was 3 hours later. I mean, in fact, I will say we recreated the goal, if you remember, and I put it away better than Stern, I think.
You're in top stanchion.
but you know, it was bizarre because we're looking up and there's all sorts of things happening beyond the stand by out the runs.
Some of our Nick's dad's his best friend and family are all Millwall supporters. And he said it was absolute carnage. And he said because Tom's nephew was in one of the pubs over there, and obviously he's my missus' cousin, and he was saying he couldn't tell anyone that he knew me. And he was a Millwall supporter.
But then it don't matter, because the facts are you're on your way to the Millennium for a second time.
That's it, yeah. Yeah, fantastic.
Did playing there already against Liverpool, do you think, help?
Yeah, in a way, you sort of know what to expect. But I was gutted at the time that we couldn't play, because I never played at Wembley. I'd love to have one of them been at Wembley, you know, that's the home of English football, isn't it? But it's still
a player, as a player, you want to be at Wembley.
Yeah, with the Twin Towers,
you know.
It would be nice to have been there, but obviously great to play at the Millennium Stadium with all them people in there. And I think the second one, it had the roof on it, didn't it?
Was
it?
Yes, it did. I think it did, yeah. Atmosphere was great again, good atmosphere.
Fantastic.
And then, you know, it's, I think Horst scored, didn't he? It all scored.
Yeah, all scored. Green nearly saved it, didn't he? And all header, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Come across the far end, yeah, as you come out to the right. Yeah, all scored the header.
So they were decent, Norwich. Very, very decent. And I remember, didn't they have a winger, quick winger, wasn't he, McVeigh? Do you remember he was quite sharp?
Yeah, there's a little clip when you see some of your old clips, I had to give him a little whack. But yeah, he was good, because he was from Tottenham, wasn't he? McVeigh was a good player. Yeah,
we were checking to see if he could hurdle.
always you've got to do that, yeah. It makes your life easier, hopefully.
But it was tough. It was, and then, you know, it comes down to penalties.
And it comes down to
the list. You weren't in the list, were you, for penalties?
No, because people said, oh, you didn't take one because of Liverpool. It didn't. I turned my ankle with about 5 minutes to go and it had come up like a balloon. Right. So I thought, if I've got a plant and it gives way and I slip over, I miss. So I just said, look, if it comes to 6, 7, and 8 and you still want, I'll take one. But I said, the first 5, just leave me out of it for now. Because my ankle was swelling up as we finished. But it was just, our call was Darren Carter. That's all you got to say.
I know Darren very well. He's a friend of my son's. He stepped on my settee more often than not. And I've looked and I thought, the kid's taking one.
You know,
it was almost like, oh no.
See that, Tom, when you trained with him, he just had that. You know, he was just, Darren wasn't someone who would go around barking and bawling and all that, but he could play. And he was just the way he got around the pitch, received the ball, even if he was training with experienced players, it looked like he'd been there for years. And when he took up to take it, I just thought perfect. Perfect person to take it. Cool as a cucumber.
You were confident at the time.
Yeah, 100%. Because you just knew what he was like. He just had that sort of character.
Well, I mean, it was an amazing moment for the kid. And that earned him legendary status at Blues, didn't it? Whatever happens.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And not just that, Tom. He's a really, really good player. You don't go on trial to Man United if you're not a good player.
And a good lad, by the way.
yeah, Carts. Carts is a great lad.
Brian Hughes says he stole his thunder because you should have took the one that he took. I love seeing them two together. Do you remember the before the final, the training down at that training complex? We went to this place. It was on the Newport. It was not far from Newport. And I was watching Steve Bruce doing the training because he did all that and let me and Tats join in. Put your hands in the air if you don't see, you know.
I
got caught time after time after time.
That's great. A bit of fun. It's like, do this, do that, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah. But it was his way of lightening everything. And then he had the little circle, didn't he? Didn't he used to have, like, the English against the rest of the world and all that sort of
stuff. Yeah, you do young and old and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, that's what you got to do. It's just trying to detract your mind, isn't it?
Yeah.
Keep and people nice and calm and just be normal. What you do normal week to week. Don't do anything different.
But it was promotion. Tell us about that dressing room, you know. It's life-changing, it should be.
Yeah, well, you had Olivier on the, like, a Voodoo Sailor with an hat on, dancing around, screaming every what car he's going to buy and all that sort of stuff, you know what I mean? And then people were joking and saying, oh, we'll probably all get sold now, get a load more in. You know, it's all different emotions, but you just want to get out there, see your family, go and have a drink and celebrate it. But the dressing room was brilliant afterwards.
Yeah, you did play in the... in the Premier League, though. Steve did pick you, didn't he?
Yeah. Like, again, I got myself... The problem thing I struggled with all my career, I never had pace, like, real pace. I mean, I could go and rack the ball, like, from player to player, but I made sure I was fitter than him. I reckon in the top three or four fittest at the club.
But you could run all day.
Oh, I could run all day, yeah. But then if you stuck it over my head on the halfway line, I've got to race AJ, I'm losing. You know what I mean? So, but then if they're popping it around and I've got to go and rack the ball, I can do that all day long. You know?
So, you know, you ended up going on to Coventry on loan. What was that all about? Was that because you were injured and coming back? Or what was the reason you
going? It was Eric, wasn't it? Eric Black, manager. And they said, look, go and get some game time, get some fitness. Really enjoyed it, actually. I think I played about six games.
Yeah,
six. And, and then I got called back. Got injured again. Man United was the last game, yeah.
Yeah. What a free kick. I still remember the free kick to this day.
Yeah, I was on the bench. I come on a sub and I think it was about 4 or 5 minutes after coming on, I took a free kick and my knee just went pop. And the ball hit the wall in the shins. And I was like, God, that don't feel too good. And I felt myself limping for about the next 15, 20 minutes until we got the second free kick. And Bruce, he was going mental, take it. I didn't want to take it because I couldn't plant my right leg. It was my right leg that was that I injured. And then I just thought, I took it. And to be fair, the keeper should have saved it. He's parried it in a little bit. And that was it. Come off at half-time, never played again.
What not a bad play. A great goal, but against Man U, the team.
So I was lucky. I think I come off. I come on about 15 minutes into the first half, come off at half time, and then I think Ronaldo come on, so I'd done me a favour. I was in the dressing room, but no, it was a mixed emotions, sad day for me. But
it was a sad time. Because how old were you then?
I was just, I think it was just 30.
Which is, so, it's still, there's still years left in a defender, isn't there?
At 30. Yeah, I mean, even if I wasn't, like if they didn't think I was good enough there, I could have gone on and played. I mean, I'd still be playing now in the Beezer Homes League if I could run. I'd play until I'd physically drop. But it's just my only bugbear is I was involved in 14 games. I don't actually know if I was good enough to play a whole season. That's my only thing that eats away at me.
That's like a regret.
Yeah, well, not regret. It's just if I was fit and had no knee problems from the previous years or whatever, I believe I was good enough, but I never know.
So it's like an unanswered question.
Yeah, that's because people say, oh yeah, you was good enough to do this, but I actually don't know whether I was or not. I know I had the ability, it's just whether you can do it at that level, you know?
Well, as you know, in your testimonial, in sympathy, I got injured.
Yeah, long list. You come and join my list.
It was the young lad, the fullback Cottrell.
Yeah, Colin.
He was a Villa fan as well.
And he had a screw loose in.
He'd done me, and I can't, like, it was like I stood up, and the referee said, "I think you should go off," because I needed about 19 stitches, and he said, "I think you should."
Good job.
Yeah. He said, you should go off. And I went, no. So I went up to him and I said, is that your best? And it was like inside, I was crying with pain. the non-league in me tried to be ever so tough. and I wasn't, you know, but it was a good day for you. But it was all a bit acrimonious, your testimonial, though, wasn't it, in the end, with the organisation?
There was calls for me to get a testimonial. I went out meeting with Karen, and she'll probably deny it, but the first thing she said to me was, "We're not helping you in any way, shape or form. Do it yourself." And she gave me an international fortnight in the winter when you couldn't get a team, and we were second from bottom in the Premier League, I think, at the time. So it's a bit tough to ask people to come out, spend their hard earned cash at that sort of time of year as well, and considering where the team were. And she gave me no real opportunity to get anyone to play. So that's why I had to play old versus new, you know. And then the farce of charging me £7,000 to play on my own pitch is just, I'd rather just shoved it up a backside, you know what I mean?
It was unusual because I've been on 3 or 4 players' testimonial committees before yours, and yeah, that ground's always been provided.
Well, you just think you'd just be as a gesture, wouldn't you? I think she charged me for the use of the pitch, the lighting, stewarding, and I think turnstile people. And that amassed to 6,800, I think it was. I had to write them a cheque for. And I just thought, do you know what? You're worth £1 billion between the three of you. You could have just wavered that, you know. Because, I mean, another £6,800 is a lot of money.
For a player who hadn't had a Premier League contract yet properly.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, I earn half-decent money. I can't grumble, but, you know, that sort of thing, you just think, we just let that go, you know. But
tell me then, in all you, who's the best you've played with?
Best players?
The best you've played with, the best player you've played with?
Mark Kinsella.
Really?
I was at Colchester with him for 6 years, and every day in training and in games, even at 16 when he was playing in the first team, he was miles better than everyone else.
His lads at Walsall now playing.
Yeah, Mark. Yeah, Liam. Is it Liam?
Yeah, I think it is Liam Kinsella. Yeah.
Yeah, and his daughter is Olympian, isn't she? She won a bronze medal. Yeah, so Mark Kinsella, I can honestly say I know he played for Villa and that, but he was a really good friend of mine when he was young, but he was just unreal.
Lovely bloke, as well, by the way. Great bloke. He was my pundit for a couple of games, top bloke.
Yeah, Mark, I tell you what, for a little Irishman, he could drink as well. He'd always be the last in, even when he was 17. He used to go out with the first team and all that. He'd drink more under the table, but he could play. The boy could play.
Who's the best you've played against?
Well, there's a few you could put in there. You've got Omri, not directly. You've got Shearer. You know, I was lucky enough to play. I'm going to give it to the legend who he is, and it was the end of his career because he kept dropping the ball over my head. It's Glenn Hoddle.
To be fair, it's not a bad name to throw in.
Yeah.
Who's been the daftest, you think?
Daftest? God, I'd say Benno's up there.
Yeah, I thought you might say him. Danny Sonner gets a mention in a lot of places.
Dingle, yeah, Dingle's right up there. But both of them are so funny. But I'd say Danny Sonner would shave Benno.
I did a Q&A with Danny Sonner.
I've seen a picture of him asleep on the bench.
And Benno, when he was sitting on the bench for about 44 games for Huddersfield, his only training was running away from the gamekeepers when he was poaching.
he was funny. I'd say Jono back in the day as well. Him and Benno were daft, but Danny Sonner, yeah, he's right up there.
Tell us about, after the game. I think you did try management, didn't you, at Cheshunt?
Yeah, I think it worked out about 4.5 days. I was involved in the club anyway, because I was coaching Charlie, my eldest. And then the job came available and people said, like, recommended me to the chairman. So I went and met him, and I sort of added, they were really struggling. They were at the bottom of the league. That you need to try and shuffle, get some players in and all that. And Charlie at the time was training at a pilot scheme for Norwich, yeah, down south, down here. So I think Charlie played against, before I took my first game, Charlie played against Arsenal. They got beat 5-2 at Howell End, but Charlie had an absolute blinder. And they signed him. So I took the Chesnut job on a Thursday. Charlie played on the Saturday. I think I took the game on the Tuesday. I had to tell him on the Wednesday, I can't, because I had to drive Charlie from where we live in Hertfordshire to Norwich, Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday. So yeah, I said to him, look, I can't let my wife drive there, 6-hour round trip every, like, four times a week. So I said, look, you're going to have to say it's just family reasons. So I think we got beat the first game at home 4-1, and then I resigned. I was one of them. I don't think it was ever going to get paid anyway. They had no money or nothing like that. But
you never felt the need to get back in, or the urgency or the desire to get back in?
I would love to be in it, Tom, but I wouldn't. There was no money on this planet that I could be paid not to go and watch Charlie.
Really?
You know, there's managers out there that have got kids at play. Don't ever go. I've watched nearly every single game he's played. It's and you know, and I will travel the end of the earth to go and watch him.
For you, it's watching your son and driving your trains, really.
I don't do much sport now because obviously I get a problem with my back, my left hip, my right knee, left knee. You know what I mean? So I play. I drive the trains. I go and watch him. I play snooker.
A lot of people, Blues fans particularly, you know, are always wherever I go and do interviews and stuff, they're always asking about you. And I think you know Blues fans better than anything. And I think most football fans are the same. You know, they, if you're honest and give them everything,
yeah,
you're all, then you'll always be a hero. And I think,
don't get me wrong, Tom, I've played games where I've been absolutely rubbish, but you still stick your head in against the post or get put in it. You know? Yeah. Yeah. You know, you could be, because I remember one of the lads said to me, one of the games at home, Trevor called me a pub player. I said, look at our left back, the pub player. So things like that, you know.
To be fair, Devs tells these stories as well about, it was the same with the horse. Because, you know, yeah, the horse worked his socks. He played with it. He worked his socks off Horsfield.
Yeah.
But when him and Steve Bruce, when Dugarry was in the team, he'd work his socks off for 90 minutes. Dugarry would, one little flick in 90 yeah, minutes, didn't do a tap else. And it was like, what a genius the Frenchman is. And
a hero.
And horse would make one mistake in 90 minutes, and it was that bricklayer from Barnsley.
Yeah, easy target, though, isn't it?
It was, but ask who the fans love, and it, people like yourself and Horse who gave it all. So, it was, when was the other game you played against Villa, by the way? Just remind me.
When Enkelman
Did you play in that game?
That was my assist, because I went to clip it down the line and booted it out of play. And then, what's his name? Melberg
took the throw. Yeah. So were you the same? Because I was talking to some of the players. They said that in that game, you know, they were that angry with what had been said in the papers and everything, that in the tunnel, you lot were like growling and like...
We were ready to go off. If it had gone off, I think we would have took them and all in the tunnel. We were like roaring. It was great. And the atmosphere then as well, great, great evening. And to win 2-0 at home against them, you know what I mean? Because I lived in Birmingham for 7 years, and you have fans at Blues, friends at Blues fans and Villa. It's a stick you used to get off the friends who are Villa fans, and you know what I mean. You just like ring them up and go, hello, and then they just put the phone down. You know what I mean? You've done it, you've got up there and you beat them. All that stick you took is well worth it.
You haven't been to the club much, have you, since you left?
No, it's obviously difficult. I had Malcolm Page leave a message on my phone the other day to come up. But Saturdays sometimes are difficult because I go and watch Charlie. But I did say
to bring you on the pitch in front of a full set, they would love it, the fans.
Yeah, I am going to get up in the new year. Like I say, I'm going to come up and do your evening, and then
We'll try and work that with a home game as well, and then see if we can, because it would be great. But it's been amazing. It's just been great, and you were always great to deal with as well. So it's been great fun chatting to you as well, pal. It's been absolutely smashing.
Yes, Tom.
So thanks very much indeed, folks. He's been Martin Granger, Brentford, Birmingham City, Colchester. Tremendous, unknown at Coventry as well. So absolutely wonderful talking to him. But we'd like you to tell us what you think. Leave us a review, whatever podcast platform you use. Leave us a review, and thanks very much. Until the next time, we'll see you soon. Thanks very much indeed. Take care.